there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Heavenly Father, we are truly in awe of the miracle of your Son coming as a baby to be born onto this earth, to grow up, to live a life, to become a man, and to be crucified and killed on a cross to save us. Lord, we are truly grateful for the sacrifice. Lord God, would you be at the forefront of this holiday season in our hearts? It's so much more than presents. It's so much more than family and friends. It's all about you, God. And Lord, as we hear about tragedy around the world and we hear about tragedy in our own town, Lord God, would you be the light of the world to Rocky Mountain House through this Christmas season? Lord, would you be the light to Rocky Mountain House, to the province of Alberta, to the nation of Canada, to the entire world during this time? Would you give people peace and joy, true peace and joy, that can only be found in you? And Lord, would you show everyone on this planet how deep the Father's love is for all of us? Lord God, we are truly grateful. Would you, Lord, be glorified and honored as we continue tonight to worship you? Lord, would you be at the forefront and be honored and worshiped from us as a gift to you? In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat.
We have a special treat tonight, and we have story time for the kids. So, if you are a kid, come on down if you want to come and listen to a story. And we'll just sit down here, all right? I'll be down there if you want to see, all right?
Andrew, thank you. Well, good evening. How's everybody tonight?
Good.
I have a story to tell you guys about Humphrey. Has anybody heard of Humphrey before? You know who Humphrey is? Humphrey is a camel, and he's a pretty funny guy. So we're going to hear his story tonight. This is called Humphrey's First Christmas. "Beloved, most beauteous and exalted king of all, should be my name. Instead, they call me Humphrey. This I could bear if the worst thing of all had not happened. My dearest possession, my glorious carpet blanket, has been lost along the trail. Now I am never warm, and I suffer terribly. That is why I have set into motion a plan to replace the greatest of all my treasures. I carefully nudge my nose inside the caravan, master's tent. This is followed closely by the chattering of my teeth, thereby letting the master know that I am most enormously cold. Success. He has not pushed me out, and I remain hopeful that a new blanket will soon be mine. Three rich caravans have joined us, and there has been talk of kings, yet these kings bring me no joy, for they have tied three huge. Do those look huge? No. They have tied three huge chests to my bare back. They are so heavy, I am sure each must be filled with rocks. They were probably as big as my chests here. Do you think those are pretty huge? No. The other camels are wearing the finest of blankets. They are all comfortable and warm. Not one of them thinks about me, their cousin, in pain and misery because of the loss of my most precious carpet blanket. I cry out in sorrow. I weep. Today, I continue my plan to regain my treasured blanket. I add loud sniffling to the chattering of teeth and squeeze my entire body inside my master's tent. As I do so, out rolls my master, for the tent is exactly camel-sized. It is as I planned. As the master chases me away, he tosses me a new blanket. I have success. Once more, I am covered with splendor and comfort. I am filled with delight. If it were not for the heavy chests I am forced to carry, I would be almost happy. We have followed one star for many long nights. Now our caravan enters the town of Bethlehem. Its streets and inns are crowded with travelers. My master gives no thought to my tired feet and rumbling belly. I am forced to move on. At last, we reach the end of our journey. But I am confused. There's no great palace, no rich oasis, no palms heavy with fruit. I see only a lowly stable with a family inside. The three kings rejoice and rush forward to bow before the young woman who cradles a baby. Finally, the chests are taken from my back and placed before this tiny child. As each box is opened, I see no stones, only gold, like what we have here, and frankincense and myrrh. And I brought some frankincense because I didn't know if any of you knew what frankincense was. Well, this is what frankincense looks like. And you can pass that around. And this is what it smells like. And I wanted you to be able to remember what frankincense is like. So just pass those around. Can you do that for me, Ella? Just smell it and pass it to somebody beside you, okay? And then you'll know what frankincense is like. In this land, I have walked past many children, but never before have I felt the need to walk toward one. Now, I kneel before this baby shivering in a manger. Watching him gladdens me more than sweet water, fresh hay, or even my wondrous new blanket. I look into the baby's eyes, and I am overwhelmed by love. I pull the treasure from my back and lay my gift carefully upon this child. He smiles, and my nose and whiskers tingle with joy. I am happy to my toes, and even without my blanket, I feel warm. Beloved, most beauteous and exalted king of all should be his name. Instead, they call him what? Jesus. They call him baby Jesus. And that's Humphrey's story of his first Christmas. And I'd like you all to take a coin, a gold coin, to remember that first Christmas and the gift that was given to baby Jesus, okay? You can eat them, hon, but take it back to Mom first, okay?
I thought you said we lost him.
I found you all!
The
Thank goodness for that star. If it weren't for that star, I wouldn't have found you guys.
Pretty convenient that now you can read the stars.
Oh, no. Just that big super bright one. I mean, it's like, ba-blam! But I'm still going to need directions home. Can someone write that down for me?
We don't have time for this. We're going to see the Messiah.
Look at us. The four wise men. We're inseparable.
More like insufferable.
Speaking of suffering, my feet can't take much more walking. It's been 3 years. We should have been home by now.
You guys can blame me all day for losing those camels, but you all knew going into this that my double hitch knot needed a little work.
Why don't we proceed in silence, reverent silence, in honor of the Messiah?
Totally cool with that.
Good.
So, I was thinking about my gift. I mean, what baby needs white jade anyway, right?
We've been over this 1,000 times. White jade represents his purity and goodness. The gold represents his royalty. The burning of frankincense reminds us that the aura of God is around us at all times, and the myrrh is to anoint him as King of Kings.
Right. Just listen. I think I found a better gift. A gift that'll make everyone forget that I lost the white jade.
You what?
I mean, I think a gift that makes the white jade just look like nothing. A gift that's better than the white jade that I replaced.
You replaced with what?
The greatest gift of all. Oh, yeah. Wait for it. Ba-blam! Hummus!
You must be kidding.
Do you mean you must be kidding? Because I'm not kidding at all. Hummus is delicious, okay? And it's very symbolic. People unite together when they see hummus. Much like a savior. Okay. This is my bad. This is on me. You guys go see the Messiah. I'll just stay here.
I think that would be best. But at least you have a snack.
Yeah. I just thought, it just doesn't matter what we bring this little king. He doesn't need any of our gifts. I mean, you know, he's a savior. I mean, he's a gift to us. Maybe I was hoping he's bigger than all my mistakes. Yeah, I guess that's what I was hoping. All right, I'll see you guys later. Why are you doing that?
Because I hope he's that kind of a savior, too. Let's go.
I wish someone had some pita bread.
Ba-blam!
Throughout the night, we have watched a couple different videos talking about the importance of the birth of Jesus, and even talking about our responses, our reaction, how we want to respond to this news of Jesus' birth, from the wise men to the shepherds. We've sung songs reminding us why this night is so special, why Christmas is such a big deal. And then even in that, the story of Humphrey's first Christmas, the natural reaction, the awe and the wonder and the desire to give Jesus our best, wanting to give our best to this King, to this Messiah. Now, I thought it would be fitting this Christmas Eve to read Luke's account of the Christmas story. And if you wanted to read along, it's going to be in Luke chapter 2, but I encourage you just listen to Luke's account of the Christmas story. I love reading this. I love hearing this every single Christmas. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. 700 years before this night in Bethlehem, Isaiah, a prophet of God, foretold that this would happen, that a virgin would be with child. And Micah, another prophet, foretold that the Messiah would be born in a little town called Bethlehem. Isaiah also said that he would be called Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. So this is God's plan. This is for the salvation and redemption of humankind. This is God's plan, that he would become one of us and show us the way to life. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about what we have, what we have been given because of the manger, because of Christmas, and we've looked at love and hope and joy. And this morning, we talked about the peace that we can have because of Christmas, because of the Messiah. But over the years, there have been many people who have claimed to be their Messiah, haven't there? Many people have claimed to be the Savior, have been claimed to be God's chosen one, and they've all received the following. So how do we know who to believe? How do we know that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, friends, God left nothing to chance. He left zero doubt. He spoke through multiple prophets over periods of hundreds of years in order to eliminate all false claims. In fact, the birth, life, and death of Jesus fulfilled 353 prophecies that had been spoken about the coming Messiah, about Emmanuel, about God with us. 353. Why so many? Don't you think that one or two would have done it? Even 10. 10 fulfilled prophecies in one person. Nobody's going to question that, right? I think the question is, why do we still question when there's over 300 fulfilled prophecies? And if even any one of those didn't come to fulfillment, he would not have been the Messiah. If he had been born in Nazareth, in his father's hometown, which was most likely, he would not have been the Messiah. Does that make sense? And still, after all of this, If that wasn't enough, God appears to some shepherds and he announces the birth of his son. And then the sky fills with angelic hosts praising God. And then the shepherds finding Jesus and finding Joseph and Mary exactly as they were told they would find him, wrapped in cloths, lying in a feeding trough. I wonder, when the angels appear and tell you the Messiah is here and he has been born, and part of that story is he's lying in a feeding trough, what you're thinking? Like, lost in translation, something's off, right? But they go and they find him exactly as they were told, and they leave praising God, telling everybody about what they've seen and what they've heard. Why would they be praising God over a baby being born? That happens every day. Still not enough. God tells a man by the name of Simeon that he would not die before he has seen the Lord's Christ, before he has seen the Messiah, the fulfillment of all of these prophecies that they have been hearing about and waiting for his entire life. He is not going to die before he's going to get to see the Messiah. Can you imagine? Your people for hundreds of years have been waiting for this and waiting for this, just like we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. Just like we're looking for the signs, we're saying, man, it's got to be coming close. It's got to be coming close. This guy knows he's going to get to see the Messiah. Can you imagine going to bed with that knowledge every single night? All right, wasn't today. Shows up, goes to the temple when Jesus is being consecrated to the Lord, and he takes hold of baby Jesus, and he knows. He doesn't have Facebook. He doesn't have Twitter, Instagram. He doesn't know about Bethlehem. He doesn't know about the angels. He doesn't know about the manger, any of that. He is holding baby Jesus, and he knows. And he praises God, and he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for the glory to your people Israel. Joseph and Mary are just in awe. It says two times in this story, they are just in awe at everything that is happening. In awe that shepherds show up to worship their baby because angels told them who he was. Sign after sign after sign, fulfilled prophecy. Friends, Jesus is the Messiah. He is God with us. And God left zero to chance. He left no doubt. And so that leads to the next question, why? Why did Jesus come? Why God with us? There was a man like any one of us. He wasn't a Scrooge. He was kind. He was decent. He was mostly good. He was generous to his family. He was upright in all of his business dealings with other men. But he didn't believe in all that incarnation stuff that the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense. He was too honest to pretend otherwise. And he couldn't swallow the Jesus story, the God coming to earth as a man. And so he told his wife, he said, I'm truly sorry to distress you, but I'm not going with you to the Christmas Eve service this year. He said he would feel like a hypocrite, so he'd much rather stay home. And so he stayed, and they went. Shortly after the family drove away, snow began to fall. And he goes out to his living room window, and he's looking out as the flakes are getting heavier and heavier. And he goes back to his rocking chair beside the fire, and he opens up a paper, and he is in his glory. This is peace, right? And all of a sudden, he hears a loud thud, and then another, and then another. And so he thinks somebody's throwing snowballs at his front window. So he gets up to investigate, and he goes and he opens the door, and there is a flock of birds huddled in the snow, flopping around. They got stuck out in the storm. They thought in the middle of all this, the storm coming up, and a desperate search for shelter, they tried to fly through his large picture window. He had compassion for them. He wanted to help them. He couldn't let the poor creatures just lie there and freeze. And so he thought about the barn that his children stabled their pony in. And that would provide a warm shelter if he could direct the birds into it. So he went and got his coat and he got his boots and he trampled through the deepening snow all the way to the barn. And he opened the doors as wide as they would. He turned on the light, stood back, and the birds didn't go into the barn. He thought, I know, I'll get food to entice them. And so he goes back to the house and he gets breadcrumbs and he sprinkles breadcrumbs on front of it and then leaves a trail all the way to this wide open lighted doorway of their barn where there's safety and there's warmth. Still, the birds didn't go into the barn. So he's a little frustrated. He thinks he's going to try and catch them. That didn't work. So he goes behind, he tries to shoo them. And he's flapping his arms. Good thing nobody was home. And he's waving and he's trying to chase them. And they scatter everywhere except into the lighted doorway of the barn and the warmth of the barn. And so he's trying to figure out what he should do. He says, you know, I'm this strange, terrifying creature. There's no way. They're not going to trust me. Somehow, if I could just get them to understand that I'm not trying to hurt them, I'm trying to help them, but they're afraid of me. Everything I do, they won't be led, they won't be shooed. And so he thought, if I could mingle with them, if I could speak their language, if I could tell them not to be afraid, if I could show them the way into the safe, warm barn. But he thinks, man, I'd have to be one of them so that they could see, so that they could hear, so that they could understand. If only I was a bird myself for a little while, I could show them the way. And at that moment, the church bells began to ring. And the sound reached his ears above the wind. And he stood there listening to these bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow, because he finally understood God's heart for mankind. And he had come to know the one who became one of us in order to save us, in order to lead us to life. That is why God sent his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And as with that video, with that fourth wise man pointed out, it doesn't matter what we bring this little king. He doesn't need any of our gifts. He is a savior. He is the gift to us. And he is bigger than all of our mistakes. God's word tells us it is by grace that we have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. It says, God's word says, not by works, so that no one can boast. Friends, no one can earn it. No one can work it off. It is a gift. That's what God's word tells us. So Jesus is the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive, and he is offered to all. He's offered to every single person. That is the amazing thing about the grace of God. So tonight we get to remember, we get to celebrate that Jesus, the creator and sustainer of all things, came in human form as a baby, for the purpose of eventually dying for our pardon. That we wouldn't get the punishment that we deserved. That is why Jesus came. That is what Jesus accomplished for me. That's what Jesus accomplished for you. And it's a gift. But it's only our gift if we receive it. Does that make sense? Later on tonight, if you receive the gift, tomorrow morning you receive gifts around the tree, around Christmas, your friends, your family. If you don't accept it, if you don't receive it, it's not yours. I actually read an article today after morning service, talked about some guy who for 50 years has been hanging on to this present he got from an ex-girlfriend, and he's never opened it. It's just wasted. So that leads us to the third and final, most important question. Will you accept the greatest gift that's ever been offered for you? Will you receive the most valuable, most priceless gift that's ever been offered? And if you would like to receive the gift of life, the gift of Jesus, you just need to receive it. You just need to tell him. And so I'm gonna give you an opportunity to pray with me in a minute. The scripture says that Jesus came that we would have life and have it to the full, that we would have abundant life. Do you want that tonight? Do you know that you need that? That's something that's been missing. You've been spinning your wheels looking for that in all these other areas, and you just need to receive the gift that Jesus is offering. If that's you tonight, I'm just going to give you the opportunity to pray with me. And just, it's, God knows your heart. It's not about words, but it's about telling him that I received the gift. I thank you for dying for me and for coming, God, with us. And I want that life that you're offering. And so out of respect, would everybody bow their heads and close their eyes, please? And if you want to pray, just pray something like this. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for coming to this earth, becoming one of us, showing us the way to life. Jesus, you know that I am a sinner, that I have let you down. I've let myself down. I'm asking that you would forgive me of my sins for all the times that I hurt you, that I've hurt others. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for paying the entire price that I deserve so that I could have life. But Jesus, I ask you that you would help me to turn away from sin. Your word says that you are going to make me a new creation. So God, I need that. Jesus, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, if you honestly in your heart received Jesus, then you are a child of God. You are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you said that prayer, we have a gift for you. We have it's a New Believer's Bible that we would love to give to you. And they're going to be on tables as you're heading out. Just grab one. It's going to answer some questions that you might have about your new faith. Some questions at the beginning. It'll tell you how to read the Bible, why that's vital for you growing in your faith. And so I just encourage you to grab one. And then I also want to say, if you don't have a church home, one that teaches the Word of God and holds to the Word of God, then we invite you to join us here at Rocky Alliance. We'd love to have you. You'll find out right away we're not perfect. We are sinners saved by grace, just like you, in desperate need of Jesus. And so you're welcome here to come find out, what does that mean? What does it look like to be a Christ follower, to be a disciple of His? Anyways, you're welcome. Let's continue to worship.